Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and also parents who have just brought your child or children forward to be baptized, all of us, the sermon this afternoon is about a man named Lemuel. I have never met a Lemuel before. Maybe there is such a one in this world, in the history of this world, but certainly there is one here in the book of Proverbs, Lemuel. We meet him in verse 1, and the first thing we should say about Lemuel is that almost there is nothing we can say about this man. We just don't know very much about him. We don't know who he was, or when he lived, or where he lived, or really even what he was like. There have been different guesses, but at the end of the day, they are only guesses. We can say he was a king. After all, he is called King Lemuel, so that's something. He was a king. And then we do get his words, or some of them anyways, 9 verses worth, and perhaps the whole chapter. There's some debate about the second part of the chapter, whether that is from King Lemuel or not. But other than that, we have really nothing else we can know about this man. Even the words he speaks are not his words, first and foremost, but words that he received from his mother. And that's important, as we'll see in a moment. But the point is that apart from his words, King Lemuel is a rather mysterious figure to us. And yet, isn't it interesting, in the providence of God, it is this man, this King Lemuel, who helps to close out the book of Proverbs. It's King Lemuel whom God uses to wrap up this manual for children and young people. That's, of course, the target audience of Proverbs, although we can all learn, but it is especially for children and youth. And it is all about living well. About living in the fear of God and living wisely in this world. Living well. That's the book of Proverbs. And how interesting now that it's this mysterious King Lemuel and his words with which this book comes to a close. And the truth is that as we study these words in God's word, we can learn so much from this otherwise mysterious king. We can learn so much about family. We can learn so much about the purpose of life. We can learn so much about godliness. And most importantly of all, we can get great insight into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for a few moments this afternoon, let's consider these words of God as they come to us through this king, this ancient king, Lemuel. What can we learn? First of all, the blessing a mother can be. The blessing a mother can be. As we all know, it's Mother's Day. That's also what led me initially to this text, because Lemuel mentions his mother. And the point is, the blessing his mother was, and the blessing that all mothers can be. Because what stands out about this mother of Lemuel? What is the thing that marks her? It's the fact that she taught her son. She taught him, and the effect of that is laid out for us in this passage. So back to the text for a moment. Proverbs 31, verse 1. Listen carefully. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And then it comes in verse 2. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? And then she proceeds to instruct him. And she instructs him regarding the responsibilities of kings and to make sure he doesn't get caught up with multiple women and ensnared by drunkenness. And really, she wants to make sure that he fulfills all of his royal duties, including to carry out justice and righteousness, and especially to take care of the vulnerable, the poor and the needy. We'll get into some of those details in a moment, or the next point, really, of the sermon. But for now, just listen again to those words in verse 2. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? What is this? What is Lemuel's mother doing here? Isn't it clear that she is wrestling with him? I mean, metaphorically, she is appealing to him. She is pleading with him that he might take seriously all that she has to say, because does he realize how much is at stake? Does he understand how important it is that he hear his mom and embrace also what she is teaching? Yes, let him listen. At least one commentator suggests that the text could be translated with that word, listen. That when this woman says, what, my son, what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows, What she's saying is, listen, Lemuel, listen, listen. And that could be. Though it's also fair to say we understand the significance of this word, what. I mean, I'm sure every child here and every young person, and really all of us when we were young, we understand and we remember, maybe, say, when children, you're getting ready for bed or you're supposed to be getting ready for bed, but instead you're having a great pillow fight in your room with your siblings and you're making a racket and a mess and you're supposed to be getting ready for bed. And perhaps you know what it's like for your mom or dad to come into the room and say, what is going on here? What in the world are you doing? We all understand that. Or more seriously, young people, if you have really blown it in life, that can happen. Somehow gotten into serious trouble, maybe at school, maybe with your friends. Somehow you've transgressed a boundary, you've broken trust. Maybe with your device, maybe with your car, something else. And somehow it comes out and your parents find out and they find you. No doubt you're in for some intense moments. Who can't imagine mom or dad or both saying to you, what did you do, son? What were you thinking? Whatever possessed you? What? 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 We all get that. And Lemuel saying, my mom did that with me. And notice too how he remembers how she appealed to her relationship to him and her commitments regarding him. She says, what, my son? What, son of my womb? Lemuel, you're the boy I nurtured within me for 9 months. My cherished son, don't forget that. And likewise, what, son of my vows? This probably refers to the fact that Lemuel's mother dedicated Lemuel to God and dedicated herself to teaching and training Lemuel on the ways of God, just like you parents have, in essence, done that in answer to the questions of baptism. Son of my vows, she says. And what she's doing is reminding Lemuel of his status and privilege as her son and how she was committed to raising him rightly, and he was the focus of that, and he benefited from that. And the point seems to be, don't forget that, Lemuel. Don't ever turn away from that, Lemuel. You're set apart. You're to live differently. It's how I raised you before the face of God. What, my son? Isn't that the way all godly mothers seek to be with their children? Godly fathers too, but Lemuel highlights his mom. And it's Mother's Day, so let the focus be on mothers. It's not enough as a mother simply to feed and clothe your children, as important as that is. But you're to have so much more in mind, and you know this, of course. When God gives you children, he gives you children to raise for eternity. He gives you souls to nurture, not just bodies to care for, but souls to nurture. And we know that, and we understand that very well, and for some of you, it's painful to think about because you've done this. You've spent your life on this, and your son or your daughter, they've not received it, but to this very moment are living in rebellion. Some of you live with that sorrow. Your children have turned away. But be so encouraged this afternoon, because here is Lemuel highlighting the blessing a mother can be, because clearly his mother's words came back to him, or maybe they never left him. Maybe he responded immediately, or maybe he responded later in life, but in some way he's showing how what she taught him affected him. He feels the force and the power, the truth of his mother's words, how she spoke from her heart and to his heart. He even calls them an utterance. The utterance. We could also translate that word an oracle. It's a word that's often used to describe what the prophets received from God when they proclaimed the word of God to people. And so it's as if Lemuel is saying that his mother's words, he came to see his mother's words as if they are very much the word of God in his life, because they had, in essence, that effect. They were used to save him and to shape him. And Lemuel learned that, and he's reflecting that. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And the lesson, yes, for also all mothers today, is to persevere and not be discouraged and not give up hope. Who knows how and when and in what way the words you have spoken, the way you have pled with your children, how they will come back to your children's minds and hearts. Lemuel's mother was a blessing to Lemuel with her focus and her faithfulness, how she fought for his life, for his integrity, for his success, for his soul. And so press on, mothers. Press on in mothering. Press on, especially in relationship to the Lord and for your kids to serve Him and to be for His glory. Press on in upholding principles and in teaching and modeling and correcting and admonishing and appealing and wrestling. Press on. And see in our text and in King Lemuel an encouragement to be steadfast and unbending in the right way. And if your children are grown and gone and you can't talk to them anymore in this way, not like before, perhaps. And soon enough that happens, as so many of you know. Still, press on in prayer and in faith. And husbands, if your wife is a mother, encourage her and stand with her and support her and work together with her. How important to do that. To strive always to be a team, united in teaching and training our youth in the way they ought to go. And children and young people, respect your mother. You realize that not to do so is sin. That God Himself calls you to honor your mother. That means listen to her. That means hear in her teaching, together with your father's words too, as they point you to God and to the way of God, hear in their words the very word of God Himself. And do not give in to the temptation of the devil to dishonor your parents, either father or mother. Elsewhere in Proverbs we read this, "Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Children and young people, the one who bore you, your mother, is she rejoicing because she sees and hears in you a desire to love and serve the Lord? Well, that's what she seeks for most of all godly mothers. And so the blessing a mother can be, that's the first thing we learn from King Lemuel. But it's not only his mother that he wants to highlight, but the words themselves and how important they are for us all. And so in saying that, let's go to our second point, learning from King Lemuel the focus we all ought to have, the focus. And let's remember here that King Lemuel is not simply recalling what he was taught. He's doing that, but he's doing it for the purpose of teaching us. The words and truths that he was given, he now gives to us. And while on the one hand he was a king and they had special application to him as a king, the fact is they count for us all. What Lemuel describes ought to mark us all. The focus. And what is that focus? Well, two things come out in the text. One is living with self-control. Living with self-control. And particularly when it comes to two issues. Immorality and drunkenness. As you can see, that's what the text refers to. For example, in verse 3. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. And what that's about simply is immoral living, sleeping around, living unfaithfully, multiplying partners, worshiping at the idol of fleshly lust. And Lemuel's mother said to him, and she said to him over and over, "Don't ever do it, Lemuel, for it will destroy you." And particularly what she meant was, as a king, you won't be a good king if you give your strength to women. If you're so busy multiplying women, being with women, focused on the women, you won't be a good king. You won't be a with-it king. You won't be a focused king. You won't be an effective king. You won't be a happy king. Eventually, you won't even be a king. If you cannot live with self-control, if you live in immorality, do not give your strength to women. Think how David did that when he took Bathsheba. And he later on went to write in Psalm 32 that his strength was utterly gone from him as a result, convicted and ruined within his own heart and soul. Lemuel, don't do it. Now, she didn't mean that he couldn't get married. He could get married. And if the rest of the chapter was from his mom, and we don't know, but if it was, then it was counsel to him about what kind of wife to seek for. Lemuel could be married, by all means, and most people will be, but let him not go beyond that. Let him not be an immoral woman or a man. Let him not be an immoral man, for if he does, he will destroy himself. For that is the end of that road. Self-control, Lemuel. Also with the issue of drunkenness. Verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. And so what Lemuel's mother is doing here is warning him about the dangers of unrestrained consumption of alcohol. You lose your sense, you lose your balance, you lose your ability, you lose your discernment. Inevitably, you compromise your judgment, your kingship, your ability to rule and reign. It's not wise. It's not safe for a king to drink with no self-control. In fact, given his responsibilities, it is better for him not to drink at all. Maybe others can drink and get drunk and not face any consequences. That seems to be the point in verse 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. She's saying, imagine a sick man, or a sad man, or a poor man. Maybe for them, let them drink, and without any restraint. Now, she's not necessarily suggesting that, but she's making a relative point. She's saying, Lemuel, for all your responsibilities, you'd better not do it. They might be able to do it, those kinds of people, and get away with it. You cannot. You're a king. And now let's not think, well, we're not kings, so we're fine. If we're a husband, we're in leadership. If we're a father, we're in leadership. If we're a grandfather, an uncle, an elder, an employer, an employee. Really, anyone with any responsibility for anyone else, really anyone bearing the image of God, ought never to drink to become drunk. What mistakes you can make in judgment, what damage you can do in society, what lives and families and more you can jeopardize through your folly and your lack of self-control. It is not wise. It is not right for kings. Self-control, Lemuel's mother is saying. Self-control, Lemuel. Don't give in to immorality and do not live in drunkenness. And so he was taught this. And at some point he came to see the wisdom of it, and now he's passing it on. And here, and you well know this, no doubt, in the book of Proverbs, these two issues come up repeatedly. As Proverbs addresses young people and prepares them for life in this world, especially be clear about the issues of immorality and drunkenness. And these issues come up because the temptation to self-indulge can be very real and the pressure very great, especially in our youth, though perhaps at any age. Do you live with self-control? Have you thought about these things, young people especially? Have you decided what you will do and not do and how you will guard yourself in your life? Are you careful not to engage in immorality? It's a pressing question. Also, in view of the many opportunities we meet with every day, from the moment you get up and pick up the device, the phone, with its access to all kinds of wretched pornography and immorality, an opportunity. And it's very well possible that some of you are stumbling in it and struggling with it and falling into it and embracing it. And while you may not be a king like Lemuel, the reality is that you are giving your strength away. Wholesale, you are giving it away. And while you think you're having a good time, while you think you may be embracing pleasure, you are weakening yourself to the point where you will be destroyed. That's the perspective of the Word of God. Same with drunkenness. We can think of wine and beer and whatever else in the first place, but you know, if you cannot go a day without a drink, or if whenever you drink you need multiple drinks, it is very likely that you are on the wrong path and in great danger. And maybe some here, in view of certain responsibilities in this life, some here should decide to stay away altogether. That's a view that's perhaps not often reflected or countenanced. It was, though, the counsel, it seems, that Lemuel received. It is not for kings to drink wine. And maybe it's a wise choice, though we need to be careful that we don't go to extremes in this regard. Wine is a gift from God, and It's to be enjoyed with restraint, by and large. But we all need to be so careful. Are we careful? Are you careful? And nowadays, we need to include also in this warning any use of drugs, illegal or legal. And how important to stay away altogether and to resist and reject any and every temptation to use and abuse, for every time they will enslave you, they will weaken you, they will neutralize you, and eventually they will destroy you. And Lemuel is saying to all who hear him and read him, listen to what I learned from my mother when she wrestled for my soul and said to me, what, my son? And I'm passing it on to say to you, don't live recklessly and without self-control. In the New Testament, we read Paul saying to Titus that the grace of God that brings salvation has come to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. Is that what we care about? Is that what we seek for? Is that what we pass on to our children? Is that what we model to them? Sober, righteous, godly living. Well, self-control is the first thing. The other thing in the text is living to care and serve. Living to care and serve. And notice, for example, verse 8. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead for the cause of the poor and needy. Plead the cause. That means, Lemuel, do all you can to take care of the poor and needy. Notice them. Stand up for them. Make sure you never pervert the justice of the afflicted. And the point seems to be that Lemuel's mother wanted him to make sure that this was the focus of his life, or part of it at least, that he would care and serve those who are in trouble, those who are in need. She wanted her son to be one who didn't live solely for himself or to advance himself. He was not to make his life all about himself, his comforts, his pleasures, his enjoyments. No, he was to learn to live beyond himself. And again, he was a king, so he had special opportunities and special responsibilities. But the biblical reality is that we all have a duty to our neighbor. The biblical reality is that we are all our brother's keeper. And pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that we visit the orphans and the widows in their need, two categories representing those in special need, and that's to be the preoccupation of the Christian heart. Living to care and serve starts in our homes and in our families and then beyond. And we all have to work out the peculiar circumstances and situation of our own selves, but this is the focus. According to Lemuel, again, he's closing out the book of Proverbs, how to live in this world. It means, among other things, that we ought never to cut people down. And we ought never to make others poor or needy. And we ought never to frustrate their quest for justice or do anything that diminishes them. And you might be thinking, I never do that. But how do we treat our siblings? How do we treat our friends? What do we say about each other behind each other's back or to each other's face or simply in the seeming anonymity of the internet? So often in the sphere of our speech, we fail to live to care and serve, but too often hate and hurt. Isn't that so often the case? We can also think of many other things, our time, our priorities, our resources. But think of how the Lord Jesus summarized the second great commandment. And we repeat it every Sunday and we hear it and hardly hear it. But we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's simply illustrating or applying what Lemuel is saying or what he was taught and is passing on. And often, maybe you know, verse 8 in this text passage is applied to the case and condition of the unborn, all of whom are speechless, of course. and many of whom are destined to die through the evils of abortion. And we should never forget their poor and needy state. And in our day, maybe more than ever, we need to rise up and stand up and speak up. But whenever we meet someone in need, the response, the reflex of our heart ought to be one of care, service, and love. And Lemuel here is teaching us what our focus should be. It was to be his, and it ought to be ours. And already as children and young people, we should be thinking about these things and seeking to reflect them, living in self-control and living to care and to serve. That's living as we ought. Living well. But who can hear these things and not experience a measure of conviction? And who can hear these things and not wonder, how in the world do we do this? Isn't this just laying a burden upon us that is impossible to fulfill? And it is true, it is impossible to fulfill. Anyone who knows anything about themselves knows that we are by nature not people with self-control, but we are people given over to recklessness. And we are not people so naturally loving, kind, and caring, but people selfish and self-serving. You'll see it in your little ones soon enough, and you will have to wrestle with them and plead with them and teach them and say to them many times, what? And sometimes we have to say it to our own selves. When we catch ourselves in some form of sin or foolishness, what are we doing? What am I thinking? Whatever possessed me in this moment? And that's the reality of who and what we are. So when Lemuel says, this is how to live, how can we? Well, that question really takes us to our last point for this afternoon, the secret to living life well. The secret. And you know, Proverbs is all about that. The whole Bible is. But in Lemuel himself, we can learn the secret. And in two things particularly. One is in his name, and the other is in his mother's vows. See, the secret that Lemuel is passing on to us is that the way to live wisely and well is to belong to God. Remember that, to belong to God. I mentioned Lemuel's name. You know what Lemuel's name means? It means literally belonging to God or for God. If you know anything about Old Testament names for God, you probably know the name Elohim or El for short. And you hear that in Lemuel. That's a reference to God, El. Just like Samuel means heard by God. Lemuel means belonging to God. Now you may say, that's all very interesting, but what does it really prove? But then take with that the second thing, Lemuel's mother's vows. Son of my vows. And when you put those things together, how he's called for God or belonging to God, and she was a woman who vowed with regard to him, what we learn is that Lemuel's mother sought to reinforce to him that more than anything else, Lemuel, you belong to God. You were created by God. You've been dedicated to God. You belong to God. And the result is you ought to believe in God. You ought to submit to God and follow God. And that was the consistent parental message. And at some point and in some way, by the grace of God and through the Spirit of God, Lemuel must have learned to do what his mother pleaded with him to do, to fear God, trust God, serve God, to give himself to God. And so he learned to live well. And that's right. I mean, he's exactly right. And today we can know that even more clearly and firmly and surely than Lemuel. Because we live not in the Old Testament age, but in the New Testament age, in the light of God's full revelation, including knowing all about how God's Son came in the flesh. And Jesus Christ, we think of him, how he was raised by a godly mother, how he began life like a little one. And he was nurtured in the womb for 9 months. And then he came forth, he was brought forth, and Mary, with Joseph helping, they raised him. And Jesus was a perfect son. Mary never had to say to Jesus, what? Well, maybe one time she thought she did when she found him in the temple when he was 12 years old, where she thought he shouldn't be. And she was upset. But she had no right to be. He had stayed behind in the temple to discuss the things of God. He was in his father's house, minding his father's business. Anyways, Jesus set her straight about that. But then we read that he went home and he was submissive to her in all things. She never had to say to him, "What, son of my vows?" And he, in his learning, he learned so well, and he always listened, and he never lost self-control. He never gave his strength to women. He never indulged to the point of drunkenness. And he lived his whole life to care and to serve and to love and to bless, as evidenced also at the climax of his life when he laid it down. When he laid it down for sinners like you and me. And he did it just things so that we might be rescued by God and brought into fellowship with God and made to belong to God truly and forever. We who by our sinfulness have long forfeited life may receive through Jesus Christ everlasting life. How amazing is that? How wonderful is that? And it's all freely given and has been sealed and confirmed in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel, isn't it? That through what Jesus has endured, we who deserve to die may enter into eternal life. And it's that gospel that has been proclaimed again today and has been signed and sealed also to Eli and to Tessa. And God has said to them, and he has said it before us all, and he said it also to us, they belong to him and we belong to him. And the call of the covenant is to hear that word and to seek the Lord and to be further bound to him by faith and to the Holy Spirit. Yes, to fall before him in conversion and to say to him, "My Lord and my God. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you." That ought to be the cry, the response of our heart, all of us. And what we tell our kids and how we encourage them and the way we pray for them in their lives. Because we understand that the secret to living well, never mind eternally, is to belong to God. Well, all this we learn from King Lemuel. The blessing a mother can be, the focus we ought to have, and the secret. The theme of the sermon was learning from King Lemuel. Have we learned this afternoon? Children and young people, are we learning? Mothers and fathers and parents and members and families and church, let us learn from the Word of God. To belong to God, to believe in his Son, to be filled with his Holy Spirit.